So we're here with Kirsty Sword-Guzmal, who until recently was the First Lady of Timor-Leste and now is a very much more relaxed woman. And Kirsty, I was wondering whether you can explain what the Alola Foundation is that you're the chair of.
Sure. It's a women's organisation that I set up in 2001 to address some of the very many needs of women in our society. Mm. Originally the focus was on raising awareness about the issue of gender-based violence, including domestic violence, which is quite a problem in Timor-Leste. Nowadays we do more in the areas of maternal and child health. We have one of the highest rates of infant and maternal mortality, which means that lots of kids and mothers women die in childbirth, largely because they're giving birth at home, and when there are complications with the birthing process, they don't have access to medical care, and so many women die in their homes. It's really sad. Yeah. Lots of kids too, for a range of reasons.
Can I just ask, is it because there's a lack of, say, midwives, or is it the distance that people have to travel? Or?
A lot of people live in very remote areas with very limited access to transportation, to facilities, to health facilities. Mm. It's also largely a lack of education about why it's important to go to a hospital to give birth. Traditionally, women do give birth at home, often only in the presence of family members. It's a little bit kind of shame too. Not wanting to obviously expose yourself at a time of vulnerability in a public facility. So it's about changing some of those attitudes, I think, when we talk about trying to reduce the rates of infant and maternal mortality. It's not just about improving our infrastructure and our facilities, but changing people's traditional beliefs and some of the mentalities that are an impediment to improving the health of women and children.
Sure. So how did the Alola Foundation then go from that concern to working with East Timorese schools?
Well, education was always a major focus. In fact, the Friendship Schools project was one of our earliest projects. I personally kicked it off, if you like, on the strength of my belief that it's really important at a time of nation building to develop friendships and linkages between young people, specifically in the two countries. There's always been a little bit of a tension in the project about the extent to which we should be focusing on providing material assistance, because obviously the needs in Timor are huge. Lots of schools lack basic infrastructure. Some schools are leaking and there's rainwater pouring in them during the rainy season. Blackboards, teachers can hardly write on any longer because they're so worn down. Mm. Kids are lucky if they've got enough exercise books and pens and pencils to write with. Yep. So there's a lot of needs to be met, and I think the key thing with the Friendship Schools has been finding a balance between meeting some of those huge material needs, but also keeping the focus on building relationships between young people. So that might be through exchanges of photo albums, letters, stories, aspects of Australian way of life, sharing those with East Timorese kids to open their horizons and expose them to something that exists beyond their daily existence.
And what do you think that Australian students can gain from having a relationship with a East Timorese school?
An awareness that all societies are not as privileged as our own. I think we are a very, very lucky country, and that message is brought home to me every time I come back to Australia, just how lucky we are in terms of the access to facilities, services, quality care in our health services, fantastic, well-resourced schools with trained teachers. I suppose it's learning, I guess, a little bit through exposure to something else to be grateful for what we have, not to take it for granted, and to learn, a little bit more about the dignity of the Timorese people, about what they've gone through in the process of building a nation from scratch since 1999, what they went through as families and as a society in their struggle to be independent, which was a 25-year-old struggle. you know, the hardships that they face, which is sort of beyond the imagining of a lot of lot of young people here. I think it's giving that exposure, making us reflect on our own values and our own way of life, and looking at in through the prism of, you know, another society's perspectives and experience.
So that touches on something I wanted to ask you. I was wanting to ask you whether you thought, what you think about Australian society that I guess prevents us from seeing clearly what's going on in a country like East Timor, or you know, giving up some of what we have to help others who don't have much. What is it about Australia that you know, makes that hard?
Well, I guess you know, we all lead very busy lives, you know, meeting the needs of our families and our communities around us. It's easy to be very much focused just on the world in our immediate vicinity. I guess we're very much influenced by the media in terms of the perceptions that we build up about global issues, including, you know, developments in East Timor. And I suppose, you know, I feel a bit dismayed looking at the Australian media and how it's portrayed Timor over the last 12 months since the crisis that erupted last year.
Can you talk a bit more about that?
This seems only to have been a focus on the negative and not on the positive stories about people that are involved in peace-building initiatives, about a lot of the ongoing development challenges that we face that are not kind of all tied up with the violence and on the political crisis. So, you know, it concerns me that people's perceptions about Timor are very much based on what people read in the newspaper or see on the television.
So there's obviously a lot more in Timor that's going on than what we see. Can I ask, from your perspective as someone who lives in Dili but also travels around Timor, what kind of things are inspiring you about your country as it, you know, emerges out of, you know, 400 years of colonial rule and, you know, to being independent?
The people's indomitable spirit. I mean, the fact that they could survive through 25 years of a really very brutal military occupation, hold on strong to that belief in independence, to win it against the odds, and then to have the courage to sacrifice more in the early years of the transition of independence, to be still be able to smile in spite of the tremendous hardship. You know, as I've mentioned today to the kids present here at this forum, most families live on about 50 cents to a dollar a day, have on average 8 children. You can imagine the tremendous challenges that it is for mothers and fathers to be able to school and clothe and feed that number of kids with those sorts of resources at your disposal. And yet people can still feel positive and happy about the future and want to contribute. And I think there's a huge will there to contribute positively to the development of the country. Timor's not full of a whole lot of machete-wielding gangs who are wanting to kill others and destroy the country. There's a lot of, you know, wonderful people, both at the level of the leadership amongst the youth, amongst the women's organisations, who really want to contribute to creating a better, more dignified life for all East Timorese. And those are the stories that I would like to be told more.
Yeah, sure. And so what do you think, as a last question, for, you know, Australian young people who are listening to this, what are things that they can do? Or I guess what's the most important thing that they can do when it comes to East Timor?
I think stay interested, stay engaged, keep educating yourself about what is happening in East Timor. Try and look beyond what the media is telling you. I know that's not easy, but it is possible when we have the privilege of, you know, internet access and, you know, libraries and so on, as we do here in Australia. Use that to look behind the scenes, to get to know a little bit more. I think, you know, don't be shy to share your aspirations and your thoughts and wishes about your own life with your Timorese colleagues. They will be fascinated. They will learn a lot from you, and vice versa. I think, be open to learning, you know, see this involvement with the Friendship Schools project as a two-way street, one where you will gain a lot, as well as your East Timorese friends, learning a lot about you and about your way of life. And I think, yeah, talk about East Timor as much as you can, because I think it's important that it... that our mums and our dads and leaders in our community can also feel passionate about Timor as one of our closest neighbours, and a country that we have a historical debt to as well. And I think that's something we often forget, that our Australian soldiers served in Timor during the Second World War. Many of them lost their lives there. But not nearly as many as would have lost their lives if they didn't have the protection and the support of the East Timorese who helped them. In fact, many, many more East Timorese lost their lives during that campaign than Australian soldiers did. So we have, as I said, a bit of a historical debt to pay there, and but not for that reason only. I think, you know, just we are neighbours. We are a very lucky country. And, you know, we have a lot to gain from building strong relationships with Timor.
All right, thanks, Kirsty, for your time.
It's a pleasure.